right. It is good to see everyone on this October 21st, 2018. And we're doing kind of a simple message today. It is Ephesians 3:20. It is part of Paul's prayer for the individuals, his brothers and sisters at the church in Ephesus. And a message I've entitled, Abundantly Above All. And I'm not going to give you much intro. We'll just dive right into it. And in Ephesians 3, verse 20, Paul says this. In verse 14, he says, For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we know that this is a prayer. And he says, This is what I'm praying for you in verse 16, that he would grant you. And then in verse 20, he says, Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly, above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we come today, we thank you so much that you love everyone in this room. And Father, that you care deeply for us. So deeply you gave your life on that cross. You came here. You left glory. And Father, as I stand before you right now, I ask forgiveness, a daily sin and weekly sin. I pray for a cleansing of your spirit to be cleansed by your blood. As I confess these things out loud. And Father, I pray to be filled by your spirit, anointed by your spirit, to wash the feet of these people that have gathered in this room as a servant. Let me decrease as you increase. Glorify me, your scripture says. Let me glorify you, Lord Jesus, for you are the answer. You are the one that will hold everyone up in this place. You are the good, good Father and the giver of all good gifts. So, Father, we cry out to you now. Holy Spirit, lead us. Open our hearts to you. Let us gain this truth. In your name we pray, Father. Amen. All right. Now, that verse actually says, He that is able to do exceeding abundantly above anything and all that we could ever ask Him for or think that would be good in our life. And so what I want to ask you today is, what is your concept of what God can do for you and in you? And I believe with all my heart, in the lives of most Christians, we're selling two people short. We're selling ourselves short, and we're selling the Lord Jesus Christ short. So what I want you to understand is, we look at this scripture today, we want to look at what we think God can do for us and what we've given up on. And what we've settled for and what we've accepted in a way that is not victorious and in a way that is not what God's will is. So notice the adjectives that he uses here in verse 20. He says, Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask. So when you're asking, you're praying. And when you're praying, you're asking. Talking about asking God for things in your life. So I want to ask you right now, in your request, in the requests that you make to the Lord, are they above and beyond? So I want you to say that with me. Above and beyond. Above and beyond. Say it again. Above and beyond. You say, Brother Leo, what do you mean? God is so good. He's so powerful and he's so awesome. Whatever it is that you could think would be the best outcome for a situation, whatever it is you think could be the best blessing you could receive for a situation, forever it is you think could be the best resolution for a circumstance, your God is able to do above and beyond that. And that's a wonderful thing to grab hold of today. And that's the way the Lord wants you to think. That's the way the Lord wants you to pray. So are your requests and expectations, and I want you to say that with me, requests and expectations. Say it again. Requests and expectations. Are they broad? Are they vast? Are they above or are they below? And are they restricted? And are they encased in doubt and fear? Understand what the Lord wants. He wants you to have broad, vast, experiential expectations in Him that when you ask God for something, or when you ask God to do something, or when you ask God to make a change in your life, you're just not shooting for a C minus, you're shooting for an A plus. And what we need to understand, so often in our life, we're just asking God to help us scrape by. That's not what He says. I want to read this to you again. Your God is able to do for you exceedingly and abundantly above all that you're asking for and above all you could even imagine in a positive way. How many times do we pray, Lord, just get me through this? Not a good prayer. I mean, it's good to pray. All right, and say, Lord, get me through. But say, Lord, I want you to get me through. And Father, I want you to get me through in victory. And Father, I want you to get me through re-energized. And Father, I want you to get me through renewed and replenished. And Father, I want to experience in this all that you want me to experience. Above and beyond. Now, in your asking and in your expecting, when God doesn't right off answer a prayer for us, our expectations and our requests may start to shrink and start to contract. Now, I want you to know something. Peter said this about the return of Christ, and I want you to believe it. God is not slack concerning His promises. All right? God is not slack concerning His promises. I want you to understand something. Your prayer life is based on two principles. Number one, the promises of God. God's promises are, I'll never fail you, I'll never leave you. God's promises are, I've come to do exceeding abundantly above all you could think or imagine. God's promises are, I'll never fail you, I'll never forsake you. God's promises are, I've come to give you a life of fullness and a life of abundance. God's promises are, my grace is sufficient for you in your weaknesses. So number one, the first principle that God, and I'll preach this hopefully in the near future, the first principle that God's, your prayer life is based on is the promises of God. The second principle that your prayer life is based on is your relationship with the Heavenly Father.
Amen. Yes.
You say, well, what do you mean, Brother Lil? Well, He says this. He says, I want you to ask, I want you to seek, and I want you to knock.
Yes.
And your Father, which is in heaven, will answer you, will open the door, will provide for you, and how much more will He provide for you than you can even provide as much as earthly parents and how you love your children.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you something. Daniel's 30 years old, and you know what still gives me great joy? To give things to him and Kyle. To get things for him and Kyle. Patty scours the internet to look for things to give to Daniel and Kyle. Something that they would like. Something that would help them. He's 30 years old. My mama, bless her heart, she's gone on to be in heaven, and I'm 58 now. And the last time she was alive when I was in Charleston, before we leave, mama's pulling out $300-$400 in cash and giving it to Pat.
Yeah.
Telling her, now don't tell Leo. Because Leo said, Mama, we don't need it. Well, I'm giving it to you. I'm giving it. And she was always pulling out money to sneak to Patty because she wanted to give it to me. We never outgrow wanting to give to our children. We don't even want stuff. We'd rather them have it. Well, I want to tell you something. Your Heavenly Father is omnipotently and omnisciently and infinitely more desirous to give to you than you are to them. So your prayer life is based on two principles. The promises of God and the relationship I have as a child to my Heavenly Father. You know what the Scripture says? The Scripture says when you pray, don't stand out there on the street corner and make a big issue out of yourself. He says, go into your closet, shut the door, and who's going to hear you? Your Father.
Amen.
will hear you in secret, and he will answer you. Every time you read scripture about prayer, when Jesus speaks, he is saying you're praying to a loving Heavenly Father that desires to bring things into your life. The disciples said, how do we pray? He says, you pray this way. Our Father who art in heaven. He said, I want you to remember, your prayer life is based on the principle of your relationship as a child in need and a father that has every resource to provide. So that's why he's saying in verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Exceedingly abundantly above. Now, I want to give you two statements again. Number one, I've already said it. God desires that we enlarge our expectations and requests. So I don't know what you're praying for, but you need to pray bigger. Say, Brother Lil, I'm praying pretty big. Well, that says pray bigger. As big as you're praying, pray bigger. Pray large. Secondly, I want to make this statement. The Holy Spirit brought it to me after I had a couple of conversations this week. Many people fall in this trap. One of the big traps and tragedies is this. Christ wants more for you than you want for yourself. I want you to understand that. Christ wants more for you than you want for yourself. Say, Brother Leo, how do I know that? Well, how many of you, and me included, we'll allow ourselves to think this is as good as it's going to get. This is as good as it's going to get. I'm always going to struggle with this. I'm always going to face this. I'm always going to go through this. Or nothing's ever going to change. My friend, I want you to understand, God not only wants to do stuff for you, he wants to do stuff in you. The power that works in you. I'm going to tell you something, my friend. I want to praise God today when it comes to asking God about tough situations, when it comes to asking God about dire circumstances, when it comes to asking God about difficult trials and storms. There are only two things that need to be changed. One of them can be changed, or the other one can be changed, or both of them can be changed. Number one, God can change the circumstances miraculously. Number two, if he doesn't change the circumstances, he can change you miraculously. And what used to be a stumbling block becomes a stepping stone. And that may be what God's trying to do in your life, above and beyond what you could think or ask. We always say it's two things, and I wrote it in my notes. You need to have great, enormous expectations and requests about what God can do for you and about what God can do in you. And that's the beauty of it. Whatever I face in life, Ricky, that may be defeating me today, it does not always have to defeat me. And you say, well, you mean Brother Leo, he's going to change it? He's either going to change it or he's going to change me. And if I can allow him to change me, then I can get that victory over him. Yeah. And so that's the deal. But let me tell you something. I'm going to pray for both. You mean, Brother Leo, you're going to pray for both? You better believe it. I'm going to pray he changes the situation, and I'm going to pray he changes me as I go through the situation. So pray for both of them. So often in life, we need to understand that we don't need to settle. We don't need to accept. And you know what we whine to God? We whine to God, oh God, this person's never going to change. Oh God, this situation's never going to change. Oh Lord, this illness is never going to change. Well, that may be true, but I'm not going to say that to the Lord. I'm going to say, Lord, today's the day you're going to heal me. Lord, today's the day you're going to change that person. Today is the day their heart's going to be touched. They're going to be driven to the floor in conviction. Today's the day you're going to work that miracle. But Lord, if it's not, today's the day I'm going to be changed by you. And I'm going to get victory over it. Man, the Lord wants more for you than you want for yourself. And you're settling for things and you're accepting things. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. One half of a verse, that's all we're studying today. Now, if you ever read that in the New Testament, you need to tie it to this verse in the Old Testament. So go with me to Jeremiah 33. I want you to leave here today asking God for big things all week. In the circumstances that you're going through, with hopeful prayers. And then ask God for big things to go on in your own life. You say, Brother Leo, I'm just a negative person. I've just always been a negative person my whole life. Well, I'm praying God will make you the most positive person I've ever met. Yeah. Say, Brother Leo, I've just always been a worrier. I'm praying God will make you the most laid-back, peace-filled, joyful Christian that ever lived.
Amen.
Brother Leo, my brother-in-law, takes the Lord's name in vain all the time and cusses, and he doesn't believe there's a God. I'm praying your brother-in-law gets saved, and one day you see him knocking on doors, sharing salvation.
Yeah.
He's either God or he's not.
Yeah.
Our prayer life is either grabbing hold of a God that parted the Red Sea and then walked on water, or it's not.
Yeah.
And so he is exceedingly above, able to provide. And that's how you got to pray. You got to be renewed. In Jeremiah 33 verse 2, thus saith the Lord, the maker of everything. The Lord hath formed the earth. He's established it. It's not going to be moved. All the universes. The Lord is his name. Adonai, Adonai, Adonai. But in verse 3 he says this, call unto me and I will answer thee. Would you say that with me? Call unto me and I will answer thee. Is that not awesome? Call unto me, and I will answer thee. This is my wife's favorite verse. Been that way since high school. Look what it says now. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. And I will show you great and mighty things which you can't even comprehend right now. Lehman, this is good stuff.
Amen.
This is over and above. I will show you great and mighty things. Plead that promise. You say, Brother Leo, what does that phrase mean? The phrase plead the promise means when you get in your prayer closet, you start quoting back to God stuff he said to you.
Yeah.
It's very effective.
Yeah.
We use it in our human conversations. Somebody tells me, well, Brother Leo, I'm going to go wash your car tomorrow. And tomorrow comes and it goes and the car doesn't get washed. And I go up to him and say, hey man, you didn't wash my car tomorrow. Well, you know, so what? I didn't wash. Yeah, but you told me you were going to wash my car tomorrow.
Yes.
You got them, right? I mean, you got them. They said it. You got it. Well, I want you to understand something. God wants you to have it. God wants you to have it.
Yes.
God wants you to say, call upon me. I will answer you and I will show you great mighty things. Sometimes I get in the prayer closet. I say, Lord, I'm going to start praying right now about this situation. And I need one of these over and above movements of yours. I need one of these, something I can't even comprehend. Lord, I need you to change me in a way I never thought I'd be changed. Father, I want to be filled with the joy and the peace and the strength and all this. And not be with the sorrow and the tears and the fear and the uncertainty. Call unto me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things, which you know not. Now, you don't have to turn there, because I'm going to take you somewhere else here in a moment, but I'm going to quote it again. Our God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we think or ask. God desires that we enlarge our asking and our expectations. God says for us to ask, to seek, and to knock. I'm going to ask you three questions right now, and I want you to think about all three of them. Number one, what are you asking God for right now? What are you asking God for right now? Every one of us has situations in our life that we're praying about.
Amen.
So what are you asking God for right now? Now, as you rate that answer, are you asking him in a great and mighty way? In an above and beyond way? Are you asking him on an average way? Mediocrity way? Is the Holy Spirit telling you right now about this situation you're praying for that you can ask with more hope, more joy, more expectation than what you're asked? I mean, is the Lord saying to you right now, Leo, yeah, you're asking me and you've been asking me, but I want you to ask with more fervor, more expectation. Expand your request in this area. Enlarge your expectation in this area. So question number one is, what are you asking the Lord for right now? Question number two is, what have you quit asking God for? Say, now, what does that mean, brother? Well, there's a situation that came up in your life 5 years ago or 5 months ago, and you started praying for it, but you've quit. You gave up. You sold short two people, yourself and God. And the Holy Spirit may be saying to you right now and reminding you right now, yeah, you used to pray about that all the time. You used to pray for this person all the time. You used to pray about this situation all the time. What's happened to you? And I say, well, Lord, you know, I didn't see much happening and I kind of moved on in my prayer closet. So what have you quit asking God for that you used to? And then the third question is this. For me, the most compelling. What have you never asked God for? What do you think about that? What have you never asked God for? There are people who tell me, man, my daddy had a bad temper. My granddaddy had a bad temper. I got a bad temper. Jeremy, I can't tell you how many churches I've been in revival in other places where folks will come up and they'll say this. They'll say, Brother Leo, I just want you to know, you know, I've been in the church 30 years. I got saved when I was 15. But this is how I am. And I'm always going to be this way. And people just have to learn that. What have you never asked God for? Because you've accepted it is how you are. Or you've accepted that this is the way it is always going to be. And so you have never asked God about this situation. Or maybe you take the attitude, well, it'll never change. These hearts are too hard. This person's never going to get saved. This addiction's too strong. This disease is too bad. These relationships are too broken. Did something happen that I missed? Has the Lord's hand been shortened? Yeah. No. But we've never asked about it. We're not asking him to extend his hand down there and do something. Now let me tell you how dangerous that is. Go to James chapter 4. I want to read you in the King James the last eight words of verse 2. So if you have another translation, it may be more words, but what I'm saying is it would be verse 2 part D, because there are 4 points in verse 2. So the end of verse 2. I ask 3 questions. What are you praying for right now? What have you quit praying for? And what have you never prayed for? And in James chapter 4 verse 2, it says very succinctly, concisely, and directly, you have not because you've asked not. Amen. So there may be situations right now that God would have taken care of 10 years ago, but you've not even asked Him about them. You have not because you asked not. You know these people that say all the time, well, God's just going to do whatever and everything's out of my hands. No, it's not. There is a condition placed on prayer for God to move in the life of the Christian, and it's based on the foundation of your faith. When you're praying, you're faithing. Yeah. When you're praying, you're defending. You're depending on God. God will honor your faith, but God's hands get tied when you're not showing your faith by asking. And that says specifically when you there are things in your life you don't have because you've not asked for them. So I need to ask God to do things for me, and I need to ask God to do things in me. Yeah. There are a lot of things that are going on that I've not even asked about. So the condition of prayer is put in there. Go with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. You got to broaden your expectations. You got to pray this is going to be the best year ever. This is going to be the best week ever. You know, because of the season we're going through right now. I check the mail every day if I'm home. And if I'm not home, I make sure I'm the one that checks. And I pray every day that God will beat back evil and hold back evil and keep evil far away from this mailbox. And it's not bills that need to be paid. And I was having a discussion this week, and I was having prayer time this week with a friend of mine. And that's what we pray, that the Lord will restrain the attacks of evil. That's all we can do. But I'm telling you something, I believe it's power. Now, evil may break loose in the next 2 weeks, and it may be every day. It may be every day. But then God will strengthen us. God will strengthen us. What's meant to be a stumbling block becomes a stepping stone. But I believe in the power of prayer. I just can't let a situation go on and say, well, ain't nothing I can do about it. I can call on the forces of heaven to help us in every situation. And so I pray that all the time, that God will restrain evil in certain situations. And let me tell you why I say this. In Philippians 4 verse 6, the scripture says this: be full of care and anxiety for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Everything. Would you say that with me? Everything. Everything. God wants us praying about it. Oh, I've never bothered God with this. It's kind of minor. That's a sin. There is nothing minor in the life of a child of God whose every hair is numbered.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Every eyebrow. So he says, pray about with everything by prayer and supplication. Now I want you to understand, intercession is when you're praying for others. Prayer is having a conversation with God. Supplication is when you're asking things for yourself. Prayer's the big umbrella, and you got supplication, thanksgiving, intercession, petition underneath those things. Praise. You got prayer, you got praise, supplication, intercession, thanksgiving under that umbrella. Supplication means everything in my life, it's almost like a beggar or a pleader. Because we sang the song, Ken, without you, I can do nothing. Folks standing up all over the world today singing that song, and they're trying to do a whole lot of stuff without him. So with everything, so I have been admonished, I've been commanded to be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanks to you, Lord, I thank you you're hearing this prayer. Let your requests, the requests you're making for yourself, let them be known unto God. Now, sometimes I fall apart in that. And I have to ask God to forgive me. I say, Lord, I forgot to pray for myself today. Well, that's a good thing, Leo. You're praying for all those other people that need prayer. My friend, there ain't nobody in the room needs any more prayer than I do. And if I was sitting in Lehman's seat, I'd say the same thing. If I was sitting in Charlie Cedar Sanders' seat, we need as much prayer as anybody we're praying for. There are needs in our lives. There are failures in our lives. There are shortcomings in our lives. And there's plenty of time for me to pray for y'all and me to pray for me. And so we are to let our requests be made known unto God. And since we're in Philippians 4, look at verse 19. My God will supply all your need. Your need. You're making requests about your need, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He desires that we draw from his vast, unlimited, heavenly, divine riches and storehouse. When you're asking something from God in prayer, you know where you're asking it to come from? From up there down here. And I hope you feel that. I hope that's what you feel. I hope you feel that the power of God is coming down, that God has provided. Look up, your redemption draws nigh. You know, a lot of people want to give people credit for things. Well, if God moves through somebody, I want to praise God, but it still came from above. God moved through them to you. Oh, I'm not going to bother God with something like that. My friend, that's a sin. In everything by prayer and supplication. You're either dependent on God in this area of your life or you're dependent on yourself. And if you're not praying and asking and seeking and knocking about this area of your life, you're dependent on yourself. You're either seeking the wisdom of God, acknowledge God in all your ways, and He'll direct your paths, or you're making your own decisions out there on your own. You know, I wish there were 20,000 different truths. No, I don't, but I'll just say that to you. There's 100 different ways to get to God, and there's 100 different angles I can take. No, there's one God, one faith, one baptism, one Jesus Christ that died for all of our sins, one power in one cleansing blood, and there is one direction and one path that God wants you to walk in, and that is His will for your life. And He's got a decision and a direct path in every area of your life. If you're throwing a dart at a board, I don't know why the Holy Spirit's indwelling you. And the Holy Spirit even says, you need not any man teach you. I will teach you. I will give you wisdom. I will guide you. In a personal, personal way. I want to close out today with a challenge out of the Word of God. It's in Malachi. And in these previous verses, I have told you, based on the Scripture, that God desires that you enlarge and broaden your expectations and your requests. Now, if you're praying amiss, the Holy Spirit will convict you of that. You say, well, what do you mean? You know, I've been praying for my little boy to make the ball team. I ought to be praying he's the MVP. No. That's not what I mean by broadening and expanding. Pray, Lord, if it's your will for my little boy to make the ball team, He will. You know the gifts and talents and the direction you want for his life, so I put him in your hands. Okay. But up to this point, I've been telling you what God desires you to do. Now I'm going to tell you what God challenges you to do when it comes to prayer. When it comes to faith, when it comes to asking. And in Malachi 3:10, the first part deals with tithes, but we're not under the old covenant of tithes, but the principle is universal and eternal. And I want to come down to the second part. In the first part, he says, bring all your tithes into the storehouse. But I want to start out where he says, prove me now. Would you say that with me? Prove me now. Say it again. Prove me now. I think that's wonderful. I want to say, first off, I love that word now. Right now. And that now, tomorrow, you can get up, Lehman, and read that verse. It's still going to say now. Yeah. Yeah. You know what that means? That means put me to the test. Yeah. Right now. Yeah. Put me to the test right now, Kelly. I want you to ask me for great and mighty things right now. I want you to put your faith in me right now. Miss Pat, I want you to believe for this right now. And then he says this, saith the Lord of all the angelic hosts, if I will not open unto you the windows of heaven and pour out upon you a blessing into your life, that there will not be enough room in your life to hold all of it.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Put me to the test, Lehman. That's what he's saying. That's the kind of God we've got. He's not C minus, he's A plus plus plus. You have type A personalities and you have type B personalities. Type B is more laid back. Type A is overachiever, an organizer, a thinker. These are the people that end up with Crohn's disease. But I'll never forget, I was speaking with Kylie's dad, Mike, one day. And he said, "You do know Kylie has a type AAA personality." Kylie's calendar's already taken care of through September right now, of next year. Kylie is an organizer, a planner to the hilt. She and I get along great. We totally understand each other. Patty and Daniel get along great. They totally understand each other. And for every Patty and Daniel, they need a Kylie and a Leah. And it works. Because the Patties, they save the Leahs. The Daniels save the Kylies. We're going down the road Friday, all the way to Nashville. I didn't realize I hadn't spoken in 30 minutes. She goes, "You're thinking." I said, "I'm thinking every scenario upside down and sideways. I'm thinking why people think the way they do, what their next move's going to be, what's going to happen." "Yeah, I'm thinking. Every minute, I'm thinking." Because I didn't give good advice on a situation that caused some trouble, but boy, I corrected it. I didn't give any advice, and I should have seen that it could have been used in the way it was used. And I didn't. God let me know it was coming, and I didn't. But I want you to understand that God, look at what it says. He will open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on you that will so saturate every detail, type A personality, every detail of the situation you're in, every circumstance will be saturated with goodness and goodness and goodness. And you know why? If you say, "Brother Leo, I don't need it to overflow. I just need it to take care of me." No, God wants it to overflow so it doesn't only bless your life, it blesses the lives of others.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah. Marty, I'm not praying for God to just heal you. I'm praying for Him to heal you so you can be a blessing to your family and to others. We're not just asking God to deliver us out of this mess. We want God to deliver us out of this mess so we can help people.
Yes.
You've got to understand how God wants you to pray, because you've got to understand how God wants to bless you. He wants to bless you where your life overflows. The blessing's so good, there's not enough room in your life to contain it. It flows to Sandra and Tony and Dylan. Ask for great and mighty things, not only so your life can be blessed, but so you can be a blessing to others. That's a great prayer. It's a wonderful attitude. You say, "Brother Liam, you're going to buy a lottery ticket this week? $1,600,000,000? Let me tell you something, my friend. I was 12 years old, I won the lottery. Not by chance, but by choice. And I want you to understand, my Heavenly Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills.
Yes.
And I'm never going to go without, because He's always going to provide. And I've got more than enough in my life right now.
Yeah.
What am I going to do with $1 billion? Buy more storage units?
Yeah.
I can't store the stuff I got now. I told Patty the other day, I said, call, friend. Find out what he rents them storage units for down by the Piggly Wiggly. Saying, "I'm tired of this stuff. Are we keeping it for Daniel? Are we keeping it for his grandchildren? Are we keeping it for the dogs? I don't know why we're keeping it, because Daniel don't want it, Pat." She's got 5 boxes of books right now sitting by her washer. children's books that she read to Daniel, that my mama read to me, that my grandmama read to my mama. God help America. And we're going to wait in line for 2 hours so we can get money to buy more stuff to get more storage units.
Yes.
Lord help us. When hey, you know what would really help them people, Betty? If they take those 2 hours from the 7-Eleven and go get in their prayer closet and let God bless them above and beyond.
Amen.
That's a sure thing. That's a certainty in an uncertain world. I want to read this to you and close out. Go back to Ephesians 3:20 as we close out today. In Ephesians 3:20, the scripture says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." I close with this. What are you asking God for right now? Broaden it. Expand it. What have you quit asking God for? Hey, start asking and say, "Lord, forgive me. I gave up on that. I gave up on myself and I gave up on you. I'm going to come back to the throne of God and I'm going to grab hold of you in this area of my life." And then as the Lord reveals to you, what area in your life have you never prayed about because you've just accepted it as being unchangeable? God is the only one that's unchangeable. The situation is changeable. You are changeable.
Yeah.
In a great and mighty way.
Yeah.
That you know not. I'm going to ask you to just bow your head. Judy, you don't have to play. Just bow your head and close your eyes. And go to the Lord for a few moments about those three questions. Do I need to pray harder and stronger and expand my horizons? Do I need to start praying for something that I stopped praying for? And Lord Jesus, is there an area in my life I've never prayed about or a situation that you want me to start praying for today? In the quietness of this moment, would you talk to Jesus?